This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. This is New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us today. And coming up on the show, many of our favorite partners, including Leibel Sternbach is here, Joe McKenzie, and friends from AARP Minnesota. All this plus the words to the wise on New Beginnings. And our program is underway right now. Dr. Michael Osterholm is the Regents Professor, the Director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy. And in November of 2020, Dr. Osterholm was appointed to President Joe Biden's 13-member Transition COVID-19 Advisory Board. The House is expected to vote today on a bipartisan deal that raises the nation's debt limit for the next 2 years. And as a part of that deal, unused COVID-19 funding will be rescinded. Given the devastation of COVID, Dr. Osterholm, is this a wise step to take?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to figure out exactly what they're talking about in terms of the clawing back. What I know right now is that a substantial portion of the unspent funds actually are going to be available to really push forward new vaccine research and also some research on drugs. So at this point, I would have to say that, I'm not completely convinced yet that is going to be a substantial issue, but it's one we won't know until the final ink is on the paper.
Just quickly, have the policymakers in D.C. asked for your advice on this particular aspect of the debt deal?
Well, only in the sense that talk about what we need to do with COVID, and that definitely we're talking to them about that. And, I'm happy to say that they're listening. And at this point, I think we, have a good chance, as I said just a moment ago, of actually being able to protect that money for new vaccine research. We need better vaccines. The ones we have now are good, but they're not great, and that's what we need.
I hadn't planned to ask about that in this interview, but I will now that you raise the issue of vaccines. I just got a notice from CVS Pharmacy the other day telling me that it's time to get a new booster, even after getting two previous boosters. What does CVS know that we don't?
I'm not sure. at this point, if you've had your two bivalent boosters, that's all you can get. These are the bivalent ones. The other thing I would say is that you want to be aware that we're going to be coming out with a new vaccine likely in October. So that that'll be even more improved in the sense of the more current strains circulating in the community. If you want to have that vaccine, you're going to need to have at least 4 months without having been vaccinated before. So if you're going to do it now. If you can get it, and then know that you'll want to get that new dose when it comes out, though, in October.
Speaking of vaccines, the emergency phase of COVID is officially over. And last week, 10% of your peers attended a Center for Disease Control conference, experienced an outbreak of COVID. 14,000 people were at Excel Center concert last night to see Janet Jackson, most of whom were unmasked. Has our level of self-protection become too lax, in your opinion?
Well, I think one of the things, Freddie, we have to recognize right now is that while there's lots of infection out there, fortunately, only really among those who are older and those who have underlying health conditions are at risk of serious illness. We are seeing, lots of infections right now. You mentioned the one that was filed with the CDC. Actually, that took place in April. It just got reported recently.
Okay.
But I think at this point, it's fair to say that, the world is past pandemic influenza and past pandemic COVID. They don't care about pandemics anymore. They don't want to hear about them. So I think that the challenge we have is that making sure if you're at increased risk for serious illness, then definitely, stay fully vaccinated and, and do what you can to protect yourself in terms of wearing your N95. For the vast majority of the public right now, nothing we could say will change what they're going to do. And for many of them, that's not unreasonable, is that the risk is actually higher of being injured seriously in an automobile accident than being seriously ill with COVID. Now, there's one caveat to that, and I'm an example of it. As you know, I got infected in early March after 3 years of missing it. I've now developed symptoms of long COVID where I'm really experiencing severe fatigue. It feels like every day, halfway through the day, I feel like I just got done swimming 8 hours. And so that is one thing you want to avoid. Now, the good news with that is we're seeing in most instances that people are, after 4 or 5 months, basically coming back from that too. So I think at this point, let me just say that, you know, if you can avoid it, of course. And just stay vaccinated. And if you are at risk for serious illness, you know, make sure that you're not only vaccinated, but then use N95 respirators so that you can, you know, be sure that you don't get infected from someone else.
You mentioned long COVID, the fatigue, brain fog, dizziness, gastrointestinal symptoms. Is long COVID the same with each person? Does everybody experience it the same way? And can you experience it for longer than the 3 or 4 months that people are talking about right now?
Yeah, you know, yes, and yes to all your questions. that is a really major challenge. And let me just say that it is one where if you look at the age group, you look at which virus they were infected with, was it an early subvariant, was it later, and you look at what the underlying health conditions are, they all vary in terms of what the long-term impact might be. Clearly, people earlier in the pandemic are experiencing much longer and more severe long COVID symptoms, and as the strains of the virus change. For example, when I got infected, I didn't ever have any change in smell or taste, none.
Mm-hmm.
And so that in the early part of the pandemic, that was pathognomonic. I mean, that was a clear sign. This is what you had was COVID. So the virus did change. And fortunately, for the more recent infections, it doesn't appear that the long COVID cases are as frequent or as long. But as you pointed out in your question, there are many different aspects to this. Some people are having, you know, cardiac issues. Some people have brain fog. Some people have fatigue. Some people have a mix of all the above. And so, you know, we have a lot of work yet to do to still sort that out.
Everyone, we're talking with Dr. Michael Osterholm, an epidemiologist, and we're talking about the effects of COVID. So what does it look like? I know that you're close to the vaccine development and so forth. What are we seeing that's different with the vaccines that are being developed right now? And what does that mean not only for the United States, but for those countries around the world impacted by COVID?
Well, we still have a lot of work to do on these vaccines. We're a long ways from having really improved ones beyond what we have now. Remember, these are good vaccines. They're just not great. They've saved millions of lives. The challenge is that they wear off too quickly. And early on in the pandemic, people were hopeful that this protection might last for many, many months, if not years, that in fact it would stop you from getting infected and then transmitting the virus to others. None of that is borne out. But I can tell you today, you have a 15 times higher likelihood of dying, 15 times higher than if you're not vaccinated versus having two booster doses in the over age 65 group.
Wow.
So, I mean, it really makes a difference. And so, you know, I don't want to throw out, you know, good when we all want great, when good can really make a big difference.
And our last question for you this morning, give us an outline about 15 months out of what recovery looks like in the United States.
Well, Freddie, I'll make a deal. I'll do that if you're going to tell me what the stock market's going to do in 15 months, okay? If you give me that, we'll trade, okay? I can only hope that the pandemic is going to continue to wane. I can only hope that we're not going to see some other infectious agent or some other variant of COVID-19 show up. But, you know, one of the things in my business that you should have taped to your wall that you see the first thing you when you wake up in the morning is expect the unexpected.
Oh, my God.
Expect the unexpected. That's my world. Yeah. And the only thing I can say is not unexpected. I get on the radio with the two of you. I always enjoy it so much. I love working with the two of you. Now, that I can expect.
Well, thank you for that.
We appreciate it. We really do.
If you have a positive COVID-19 test, it's important to stay home and away from others for a minimum of 5 full days from the date of the symptoms or the date you had a positive test result. When near people who live with you, wear a well-fitting mask. You can return to most activities after 5 full days of staying away from others if your symptoms are getting better. Continue to wear a mask around others indoors through day 10. A message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
Thanks for being with us this week, and it happened this week. In 1836, the United States House of Representatives adopted the gag rule. The rule was adopted to restrict needless long discussions in Congress. In 1896, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, comprised of 12 smokestack companies, made its debut. In 1977, George Willick scaled the World Trade Center in New York City. Known as the human fly, Willick attached himself to a window washing mechanism and walked straight up the building. He was arrested and fined $1.10, a penny for every floor. In 1978, the first legal casino outside the state of Nevada opened in Atlantic City, New Jersey. In 1994, Michael Jackson married Lisa Marie Presley in a secret ceremony in the Dominican Republic. In 1995, Warner Brothers animator and cartoon producer Fritz Freilich died at the age of 89. He created such popular characters such as Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Sylvester, and Tweety.
You know, I thought I taught a putty test.
And in 1998, the Supreme Court ruled that Ellis Island is mainly in New Jersey, not New York. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell.
Since its release, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell has inspired tens of thousands. And in these times, words of encouragement can be the difference. How about you? Could daily affirmations and words of encouragement make a difference in your life? Find out with your very own copy of Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Available at Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org.
Each year, financial fraud steals up to $37 billion from senior citizens.
It was devastating.
What are we going to do?
Many lose their entire life savings.
They told us we had no choice.
The Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse conducts extensive research and provides comprehensive training to individuals and organizations to help prevent elder financial abuse.
You wiped us out.
How could this happen?
Join the fight at endefa.org.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now's my favorite time of the program when we turn our attention to talk finance with Leibel Sternbach. Leibel is an amazing author. He is the Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. I feel like a novice. I feel like I should know what the 321 plan is, and I know it's not simply 321 backwards. What is the 321 plan?
So the 321 plan, and don't feel bad for not knowing what this is, but it's something that I made up. So I call it the 321 retirement plan, because what it is it really is about building layers of protection into your retirement. So the way I look at it, right, is we don't know what the future is going to hold, right? We don't know what's going to, you know, we don't know what the Fed is going to do. We don't know what Congress is going to do. We don't know who the next president is going to be. And so we need to make sure that we have built into our retirement plan a, you know, layers of protection and a decision-making process that ensures that we're always making the best decisions for ourselves and for our loved ones. And, you know, over the last 15 years that I've been working with retirees, I've been working with financial advisors, that this has been, you know, kind of my life's work, I've come to recognize, you know, certain truths about retirement, and that no matter what's happening, right, there's some things that you always got to do, and, you know, certain ways of making decisions that produce better outcomes than others. And I've kind of distilled that information and created a process around it, which I call the 321 retirement plan.
All right, everybody, we're talking with Leibel Sternbach on our program today. And I'm just curious, is it broken down as three meaning something, two meaning something, and one meaning something? And if it is, what does three mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So three refers to the fact that you need to have at least three levels of diversification. And when we talk about diversification, right, we're not talking about just, you know, that your assets need to be diversified and have stocks versus bonds. You do need to have that. What we're talking about is time, right? You need to have three distinct categories of time that you look at money through, right? So you probably have heard advisors talk about things like bucket plans and whatnot. This is our version of that. And what we do and what we say is divide your money into three categories of money, right? You have your money that you're going to live on for the next 3 to 5 years. Then you have the money that you're going to be, you know, 3 to 5 years after that, right? And then you have the money that's long into the future. And by just conceptually separating out that money into those three distinct time bands, you get to all of a sudden, you know, evaluate your decisions differently. You get to build a certain level of protection into your retirement plan because your decisions become easier, right? How you invest your money for the next few years that you're going to live on, right, isn't going to be the same as the money that you're going to be using 20 years from now. And so the very first foundational step of any retirement plan is just to build in that layer of protection and separating out that money into those three distinct categories.
All right. So those three distinct categories, three. Now, what does two mean?
So two means that no matter what you do, you got to have at least two layers of diversification or two layers of, kind of protection in there. And so when we talk about investments, right, you talk about, I've got, stocks and I've got bonds, right? Well, why do you diversify with stocks and bonds? It's because, well, the stock market, while the stock market on average goes up, there are times when bonds go up. And by mixing the two, right, you diversify and protect yourself from the stock market going all the way down, right, and having a really bad year, or the bond market having a really bad year. And hopefully you smooth out your ride. At least that's the theory. Now, it doesn't always work out in practice. And there's times when, you know, that protection doesn't work out. So you need to have something that's, you know, a little smarter than that. Having said that, though, we want to make sure that how we manage our money and how we make every decision, we ask ourselves the question, what if we're wrong? Right. So, yes, we have, you know, we make investment decisions and we give our money to, you know, let's say we buy treasuries or we buy CDs or we invest, you know, in dividend income. Right. What if we're wrong? Right. What if our vision of the future doesn't come to happen? What do we do? What is our protection? So I want you to think about, right, as we're building this plan, you know, for each of these layers of protection, these three layers of protection that we have, these three distinct time periods, what is it, have at least two layers of protection within that. What are we doing, right? How are we investing in money? How are we making these decisions? What if we're wrong, right? And having that diversification in decision-making is, I think, critical. So that's what the two is.
So this requires a really close relationship with the person who's helping you with your financial plan or your CFP or that advisor?
Absolutely, right? This is an ongoing process. This isn't something that, you know, you can, you know, just whip out, you know, go online on some tool and build and knock it out. Well, we did build out a tool to help you knock it out. It's not really going to do you much good if it's not based on your life. It's not something that is, you know, based on the goals that you want to have and the things you want to accomplish and the realities of your life, right? Everyone's reality is different. And you need to make sure that it's a proper reflection of that. And here's the real critical thing when it comes to retirement and retirement planning. The hard part isn't creating the plan. It's the decision points of, well, what do I do now? How do I take money from that, you know, second bucket and put it into the first bucket? How do I take the money that I'm going to use short term, right? How do I spend it? How do I replenish it? Right? Because those decisions are really critical. Which accounts do I use? How do I reduce my taxes? When do I take Social Security? Those are, you know, decisions that you can sort of put on a plan, but they really have an impact and they're really based on what you want in retirement and what is important to you.
And those things can change over time, just depending on who's in front of you, at what time they decide to come with you. That was your first point in number three. And then number two, you talked about the layers of diversification. I want to come back to those two, but what is number one in this outline of 3-2-1?
So number one is you need to have at least one written plan, or you should have only one written plan. But you need to have one plan and you need to update it at least annually, right? So the purpose of having a written plan is that you need to know, like on a single page, you need to know, okay, this is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it, right? And this is where our money is, right? And there needs to be absolute clarity on this plan and what money you're spending first and what money you're spending second, and what are the conditions for you to, you know, enter the market, exit the market, when are you going to, you know, harvest your gains and move from one category of money to the next, one bucket to the next. You need to have that extremely clear, because if you don't have clarity on that, then I guarantee you something's going to happen and you're going to be, oh, shit. I need to pay for this. I need to take this required minimum distribution. I need to do whatever. And you're going to do it in the way that is easiest for you, not necessarily the most efficient or the one that's best for your long-term, you know, financial stability. And as soon as you do that, that's where the little gremlins come out and they, you know, destroy your retirement plan, because all that hard work goes out the window when we aren't making decisions that have been considered for our short-term and our long-term future. That's how people run out of money in retirement. It's because of those simple, small decisions that add up over time.
Interesting, everyone. We're talking about the 3-2-1 plan. If you don't know what 3-2-1 is, we're learning today, because this is something that Label created himself. And let's go through that. You talked about number three in the 3-2-1 indicating time. Let's talk about client A, who's decided to retire, but he's got 15 years to go before he actually pulls the trigger in retirement. Sketch out an idea of what you would be talking with this individual about. 15 years out of retirement, layers of diversification, and then number one, having that written plan of action.
Yep. So. Right. Again, right. Whether you're in retirement, you're 15 years into retirement, or you've got 15 years to go, the plan doesn't really change. Right. All that changes is your time periods. Right. So let's take a look at that. Right. So for someone who's 15 years out from retirement, the first thing is, again, you need to diversify your money across time. Right. So we have the money that we're going to live on. And generally, that's going to come from their wages. Right. But there's going to be another component there, which in retirement, we don't necessarily need the same amount, but in our working years, it becomes critically important, and that's having an emergency fund, right? You need to have a fund that says, when life throws something unexpected at you, where am I taking that money? Because you don't want to be racking up your credit cards and, you know, now it's huge interest rates that you'll be paying. You don't want to dip into your retirement savings, because that's going to set you back, right? So you need to know where that money is coming from. So that's your money that I'm going to be using in the near future kind of bucket, right? That's your, you know, 1 to 3 years. Next you have, okay, what am I, you know, what are the goals that I'm going to have in life? You know, do I have a wedding to worry about? Am I putting down a down payment on a house? Do I plan on moving? Am I buying a beach house, right? Is there some vacation that I want to take? Is there, you know, are we doing a big, you know, 50th anniversary kind of bash? You got to think about what those milestones are in your future that you want to save up to. And that's going to kind of be that second bucket. And then you've got long into the future. And when we think about long into the future, we're thinking about retirement, really. And that's going to be, you're going to invest that a lot more aggressively than money that you're going to be using in the near future or for your emergency fund. So that 3-2-1 still stays. Now, when it comes to diversification, same thing, right? Now, you're not going to be as diversified, but you still want to have some diversification, right? Mm-hmm. And a perfect example of this is, you know, you could take on, you know, you can invest if you're investing, you know, in your 401k, you can invest in the S&P 500. That's a very aggressive, you know, long-term investment strategy. But at the same time, you can take a small amount, right? And you can put it into bonds, or you can put it into, you know, an all US stock index, which has a lot more aggressive growth to it, but it also has a lot more downside. And so by layering those layers of diversification, you get to answer the question of what if I'm wrong, right? What if the US isn't, you know, what if the top 500 stocks in the US don't get to be the next, you know, best thing for the next 20 years, right? Well, we're diversifying by investing in all stocks in the United States, right? Or maybe you diversify and get some internationals, right? So you want to build some diversification in there. And then again, you want to have that written plan that says, when there's an emergency, what do? Where are we spending our money from, right? What is the amount of money that we're looking to save for retirement, right? What are the life goals that we have coming up, those life events that we want to plan for and we want to save for, so that they aren't surprises, so that we know and we have that money set aside, and it isn't something that when we need to pay for it, it derails our retirement. It's something that we're actively looking forward to, and we have a plan of how we're going to accomplish it.
Interesting, everybody. We're talking to Label Sternbach, and I know that that's a lot of information with simple numbers, 3, 2, 1. Tell us how Yields for You can be a wonderful conduit for this information that you've just shared with us today.
So on our website, yieldsforyou.com, we have got three ways for you to learn more about this 321 retirement plan. Number one, for those of you who are readers out there, we've got a very nice guide that walks you through step-by-step everything that you need to know about how to implement this in your life. For those of you who are more visual and want, you know, short videos that walk you through the process, we have a video course that's filled with videos that I think the longest is about 5 minutes that walk you through step-by-step, again, how to implement this in your plan. And for those of you who don't have the patience to read and don't have the patience to watch videos, and you just want something that'll, you know, spit it out for you and help you along your path, we even have an online guided wizard that'll walk you through creating your own personal 321 retirement plan.
And that website, again, everyone, is yields, the number 4, the letter U.com, yieldsforyou.com. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the new New Beginnings podcast today.
Time now for a bit of inspiration. Here's Freddie with this week's Words to the Wise. Words to the Wise.
Here are today's Words to the Wise. Your character is your destiny. Our beliefs, values, and actions shape our destiny. Positive traits such as integrity, empathy, and resilience lead to success. Developing a strong character creates a meaningful life and a positive legacy for future generations. Our Words to the Wise, your character is your destiny. If you'd like more information, visit me online, freddiebell.com, Twitter, Facebook, and all social media.
Words to the Wise.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
Even though the federal COVID public health emergency has ended, it's important to take steps to protect yourself from the virus. The ending of the public health emergency does not change the availability of COVID-19 vaccines. Vaccines will continue to be provided by the federal government through the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act. It's also anticipated that COVID-19 vaccines will transition to the private market in early fall. You can learn more details about the transitions at the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and joining us right now is the John Schwartz. And you wonder why I say the John Schwartz. Anybody who can help us to protect our money and the lives of our elder community is the John Schwartz with us right now. He is the founder of the Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse. Last week, we talked about World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. And John, we're back. Prosecutions are going up with elder abuse. What's going on? What's the latest?
Hey, Freddie, thank you very much for having me on the show. Glad to be back. Today, I want to talk about the RICO conspiracy cases, because I just came across a case that was prosecuted last May 9th, 2022. And I have the DOJ public affairs release. But it describes, the title is, Third Defendant in the Grandparent Scam Network pleads guilty to a RICO conspiracy. So just for your listeners, want to explain what RICO is. That stands for Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act of 1970. A little bit further on RICO, RICO is a powerful prosecution tool to bring down criminal enterprises engaging in major crimes such as organized crime, narcotic distribution, and human trafficking. So the significance of this case is the individual in this case, Anaja Gifford, is the very first person I've ever seen that's been prosecuted under RICO for elder financial abuse. And that is a huge step forward in our nation's effort to combat elder financial abuse.
At the outset, you mentioned the grandparent scheme. Talk about the grandparent scheme and how Anaja Gifford was wrapped up in this.
Yeah, so Anaja Gifford was the courier. And I got to tell you, Freddie, that this case, you know, I found this case a couple of days ago, then it was highlighted on 60 Minutes this past Sunday on May 21st. But basically how the grandparent scheme works is that an elderly person will get a telephone call from an individual claiming to be an attorney that and saying that their grandchild has been involved in a car accident and that the victim of the car accident is leveling charges and that the attorney is representing the grandson, but they need money. So again, it's another one of these cases, Freddie, to where they're on the telephone. They'll ramp you up with fear very quickly, and they'll give a sense of urgency. We need the money now. And in this case, they even said, we'll send a courier to come pick up the cash money, and she can be there within a matter of hours. It's very, very slick, Freddie. It's horrible, and I'm glad 60 Minutes gave this case attention because it deserves it. And I'm glad that DOJ was able to prosecute with RICO.
Talk about the real teeth of the RICO Act.
So the RICO Act, it was designed back in 1970, and it was targeted for bringing down organized crime. So when the financial predators see this, they know that it's a very serious prosecution that will increase the number of years to their sentence, and they don't want any part of that. So hopefully this is going to be a deterrent for these would-be financial predators to think twice before running one more grandparent scheme. So again, hats off to DOJ as well as 60 Minutes, because these two avenues of telling the story are going to reach these financial predators and let them know and put them on guard.
Before we have to step away, John, tell us about the work of the Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse. Tell us how you help to protect the elders and their families.
Yeah, thank you very much, Freddie. So I'm a retired FBI agent, and I set up this center as a veteran-operated nonprofit in order to protect the elderly and their family members from elder financial abuse. And we do that simply through education. So we set up a website. It's endefa.org. Again, endefa.org. And we posted 18 convicted predators and their summaries, and that is an educational tool for the elderly and their family members to go review at their leisure, but learn a little bit more about how these predators operate, because a little bit of knowledge will go a long ways in protecting an elderly and their entire life savings.
Before we step away, that web address one more time, John?
It's endefa.org. Again, endefa.org.
Do yourself a favor and look up John, because he is fighting elder financial abuse, and he's with us today on New Beginnings. On the lighter side this week on New Beginnings, his barbecue season is here. Nearly 60% of Americans own a barbecue grill, and more than half of grill owners use their grill on a regular basis. The favorite barbecue foods among Americans are steaks, followed by hamburgers, chicken, ribs, bratwurst, hot dogs, and pork chops. And despite the convenience of online shopping, 83% of grill sales still occur in-store, likely because grills are a significant investment, and customers prefer to see and handle the product in person before buying. Sales of barbecue grills shot up 40% during the pandemic. And science has figured out what women find most physically attractive. Nice shoes, clean-cut clothes, well-groomed facial hair. And once all these artificial coverings are stripped away, what exactly about a man is attractive to a woman? Well, a study revealed it's all about the length of their legs. A study published in Royal Society Open Science shared that women are programmed to select healthy male specimens, and one good indicator of that is the proportions of his body. Researchers measured the body proportions of 9,000 men in the United States military. They used the data to generate computer simulations of an average male body. When it comes to legs, hearts would race if they looked to be close to half the male's figure's height. And it's obvious your kids' expensive hobbies could ruin your family. A study found that too many after-school clubs and expensive hobbies for children can damage families. Cramming in extracurricular sports, music lessons, and other activities often cause fights between parents over who shuttles the kids around and cost involved. The youngsters themselves can end up exhausted as they race between home, classes, and after-school clubs. Experts say the resulting bad atmosphere in the home can put marriages at risk and have an adverse effect on a child's well-being. And finally, a Burger King in Florida is being ordered to pay a whopper of a settlement. You get it? Whopper? A judge says the owner must pay $8 million to a customer who slipped and fell at a restaurant. The man suffered lower back injuries and needed surgery after falling on a foreign substance near the restroom of a Burger King in Hollywood. The lawsuit accuses the restaurant of negligence for failing to ensure that the area and floor of the business was free and clear of any hazards. The award is one of the largest slip and fall verdicts in Florida's history. On the lighter side this week on New Beginnings. You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan, administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guides, simple checklists, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP job board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area.
Scissors, clippers, styling and profiling. Information online at thestandardmn.net in Oakdale, Minnesota.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
the popular author Marianne Williamson said in her first and most famous book, A Return to Love, that God, the divine, speaks to us in a way we can hear. That's comforting. God gets our attention uniquely. For some of us, it's on Sunday morning in a beautiful worship service with wonderful music and focused prayer that some of us grasp that idea of the Christ incarnation, Christ within. Others explore this world of wonders in many ways. The arts, exploring nature. And there, they really get it. They get that idea. Others reach a hand out to the world, encouraging the disheartened, feeding the hungry, visiting those that are in some form of bondage, mental or imprisoned. They reach out and serve another, lifting another up, and that's how they get the idea. I tried to convey last week in the Easter lesson this idea of service, ministering, helping another. For those of us that have most of our life needs met, we're relatively comfortable. Some are extremely comfortable and blessed with many things. People that live in abundance, if you think about it, they only get this idea, they only find this joy through reaching out and helping those who don't have as much. Think about it. Their prayers, their desires, their dreams, their goals have been met. Where are they going to find joy? But in helping others discover the goodness of God. And for those of us that have limitations or lack in our life, our joy comes when someone comes to help us, to lift us up, to encourage us, a teacher, an aid, someone that helps you, and then you get it. This grand idea. I must be worth something. Carol came to my aid. Gerald thought I was worthy of help, of a little boost. As Marianne Williamson said, God speaks to us in a way that we can hear. Uniquely, our way. Rohr goes on to describe this incarnational world view. The divine, the Christ, is permeating all. He describes it as an idea in which matter and spirit are understood to have never been separated. Rudolf Steiner said it very simply and briefly, which is kind of unusual for Rudolf Steiner. And he said, there is never matter, this material stuff, there is never matter that is not filled with spirit. And there is never spirit in isolation that is not expressing somehow in matter. Many of us have believed God up there, we're alone down here. The Christ idea, it's all one. It's all one. Our part is to understand that. In the church, we would say it is our job to hold the faith, to believe in the unlimited possibilities that good will express in each and every situation. This view relies more, listen, on awakening than joining some spiritual community. It relies more on awakening than joining, more on seeing than obeying, more on growth in consciousness and love than on clergy, experts, morality, scriptures, or rituals. The code word that Rohr chooses for this worldview, this perspective on life, is simply Christ. And in our tradition, it is, you know, Christ within. So I invite you this week, we'll begin in a moment of silence, but play with this preposition and this proposition. Play with this idea of divinity, of God's presence, of the risen one, of the anointed, of the power, of the good. Is it located within you? Or is it your proposition, your perspective, your worldview, how you see others, how you see this world, how you see the possibilities, how you see the path before you? It is a world of wonders. So let's take a moment and turn within. I'm going to speak a very old form of this idea. It inspired our prayer for protection that we speak every Sunday, and hopefully more often than that. It was taken from the 5th century prayer attributed to St. Patrick. St. Patrick's breastplate, his protection. And I'll speak it in part. I invite you to close your eyes and let this go to the very center, the very withinness of your being. Be Christ this day my strong protector against poison and wounding, through reward wide and plenty. Christ beside me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ to the right of me, Christ to the left of me. Christ is in my lying, my sitting, my rising. Christ is heart of all who know me. Christ on tongue of all who meet me. Christ in eye of all who see me. Christ in ear of all who hear me.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us this week, and it's National Applesauce Cake Day. Today recognizes a delicious and easy treat. The tasty applesauce cake offers an opportunity to share a slice or two of a cake that comes in a variety of recipes. When it comes to applesauce cake, mixing in spices, nuts, or dried fruit makes this cake a crowd pleaser, too. Cinnamon, nutmeg, and allspice are just a few of the spices to choose from. You might also like to add pecans or walnuts for some crunch. Raisins or chopped apples add a little extra natural sweetness and texture to the cake, and some bakers use homemade applesauce, but store-bought will do too. In any cake recipe, applesauce may be substituted for butter or oil for a healthier alternative. It is also said that 1/2 cup of applesauce may be substituted for 1 egg in some baking recipes for those who have egg allergies. Let's celebrate together with National Applesauce Cake Day. That's our show, and thanks to our special guests for stopping by and sharing information that we hope can change lives. If you missed any of today's show, you can subscribe to our podcast or just Google Freddie Bell or stop by my website of the same name. Thanks for listening, and remember that each day is a chance for a new beginning. See you next week.